Hey everybody, it's JT. What is on your holiday meal shopping list? Well, I would suggest Painted Hills Natural Beef. It is some of the best beef in the world. And your friends and family will be thanking you for a long time if you serve Painted Hills Natural Beef for your holiday meals. And now you can buy it online just by going to PaintedHillsBeef.com. Use the code BBQNATION at checkout and save yourself 15% on your order. Give Painted Hills Natural Beef a place on your table this holiday season. Hi, everybody. JT along with Reynolds here in the studio, and you're listening to a special edition of Barbecue Nation. By request, this week we have Steve Reichlin again speaking about his new book, Project Smoke.
It's Barbecue Nation with JT on a Northwest Lifestyle Weekend. Now here's JT on FM News 101.
Hey, good afternoon, everybody. Hope you had a great week. Welcome to Barbecue Nation here on KXL and the Radio Northwest Network. I'm JT along with David the Beef Shurtleff. He's our master producer here in Studio 2 this week. Our guest, of course, REO Speedwagon. Father's Day is coming up, right? And no plaid shirts or plaid pants on this outfit. So what do you get Dad for Father's Day? I got a great idea for you. There's a brand new book out about cooking and smoking and barbecuing, but it's mostly about smoking. Project Smoked is the latest book by Steven Reichlin. And Steven is in the studio with us today. He's been on the show before a couple times. As you know, he hosts Barbecue University and Primal Grill and, of course, Project Smoked now. Welcome.
Well, thank you.
You know, get your introduction in, it takes a while. You've got a lot of stuff on your to-do list or to-done list that you've accomplished over the years. How did you come up with wanting to do Project Smoke?
You know, the book really evolved from a very simple realization, and that is that all barbecue food is smoked, but not all smoked food is barbecue. Now, I've written a lot about barbecuing and grilling. I've touched on smoking in my barbecue books in connection with barbecue, but I've never really focused on smoking as a method of cooking, as a style of flavoring and eating. And if you think about the world of smoked foods, well, it embraces fish.
Mm-hmm.
And you have such great smoked salmon up here. It embraces desserts. It embraces appetizers. It embraces cheese. It embraces ham, sausage, even desserts and cocktails. So I realized that there was enormous amount to explore and to say about smoking that I hadn't covered in previous books.
Well, you've expanded over the years, like you said, and I find it interesting that you kind of went from the barbecue Bible to, and I'm not going to get the chronological order correctly for you, but you know what I'm talking about. Mm-hmm. And you've done all of that. You've done your television shows, and then all of a sudden you were doing the smoking thing here. What's next? What's after smoking?
Well, for me, I'm fascinated by the history of barbecue, which is really the history of humanity.
Right.
So I have for a long time been working on a book on the history of barbecue, and I think that may be the next project.
That's the next project?
Yeah.
What about your cooking style? Are you going to go back to meat actually on the coals and do a whole series on that, or kind of the primal type stuff again, or what?
Well, we're going to do one more season of Project Smoke, at least, because mm-hmm. there's a lot more to say about smoking. And then my dream is actually to get out in the field. You know, I wrote a book called Planet Barbecue a few
right.
years ago, which is really about my travels around the world's barbecue trail. And I would love to take viewers out, back out on the barbecue trail.
You're awfully thin. I'm a big guy, and I, you know, got my porch built here, so to speak, but how do you stay skinny like that?
Well, you know, I run at a pretty feverish pace.
Mm-hmm.
Last week I was in five cities in as many days. And in terms of eating, I guess I'm more a taster than an eater. I kind of like lots of little tastes of interesting new foods that can teach me something. But when it comes to the heavy lifting, I bring my son along. He's 6'3" and he can clean a plate.
Did you ever have that? I don't know if we ever talked about this in the previous shows you've been on with me, but I get so that after I've done a lot of grilling and smoking all day, I don't want to eat dinner. I want to feed the people, but like you, I've tasted like that, and there's nothing wrong with it. I enjoy it, but at the end of the day, I guess it's just being around so much food and so many different things, so many different flavors and smells. I'm not I'm kind of anesthetized to wanting to just sit down and dig into a plate of ribs or something.
Well, you know, I think you've hit on something that really goes to the character of who we are, we brethren of barbecue. And that is, I think, what really motivates us is the love of feeding people, the satisfaction of feeding people. That is not to say that if I have smoked a really awesome brisket or really awesome beef ribs, I won't sit down and eat them.
Sure.
Because, you know, I love that. But I think what motivates us, many of us, is sort of the pleasure of bringing pleasure to other people.
I think that's about it. Now, in the book, you talk about 7 steps to smoking nirvana.
Mm-hmm.
And I found that just some interesting phraseology to begin with. But I'm going to let you explain that.
Well, you know, unlike grilling, if you think about grilling, I mean, grilling is grilling.
Right.
All grills sort of work the same, whether they are gas grills or charcoal grills. Wood grills, a little bit more complicated to use. But, I mean, the principle is basically you put food over the fire and cook it. Smoking is easy, but it's not simple. And what I mean by that is, you know, there are probably a dozen different types of families of smokers. I mean,
sure.
Ceramic smokers like the Big Green Egg operate differently than offset barrel smokers like mm-hmm. a Yoder, operate differently than pellet smokers like a Memphis. So in writing this book, I wanted to teach people how to smoke. And the first step of that is selecting your smoker and understanding how to operate it. And coming back to this idea of smoking is easy, but it's not simple. There's a lot that goes into making great smoked food. First of all, your choice of the smoker. Second of all, your choice of the fuel.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, unlike a grill where you're working over charcoal or gas, I mean, woods come in many different species. Each has a subtly different flavor.
Sure.
However, I may surprise some of your listeners when I say that the species of wood matters much less than how you use the wood. What I mean by that, you know, and we food writers tend to wax poetic sometimes, but if you taste a pork chop smoked over apple wood, you are not going to taste fresh apples. If you taste a salmon fillet smoked with cherry wood, you are not going to taste fresh cherries. Those two smokes have a subtly different flavor.
Mm-hmm.
What's most important is how you dose the wood. And here we guys are at a disadvantage, right? Because we suffer from the guy syndrome. And the guy syndrome says that if some is good, instinctively, we feel like more is better. Okay. So, you know, if you're told to add a cup and a half of wood chips once an hour for 8 hours, what do? We want to throw the whole 2 quarts in the first hour.
Get it done right.
Get it done right away.
Yep.
And in fact, slow and steady, you know, smoking, it's a game of slow and steady wins the race.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Really quick here, because we're going to take a break in a minute. But I was going to ask you, do you ever eat anything that's just kind of mundane, like a bowl of soup in your personal life?
I do. I mean, when I'm out on book tour and I'm doing smoke and fire and grilling all day, I mean, often what I crave at night is sushi, right? Because it couldn't be more opposite.
Sure.
I don't eat junk food, but, you know, I like a well-made granola.
Oh, yeah.
When I'm on tour, my morning breakfast is usually oatmeal. So.
Yeah. No, I was just curious because I in other interviews I've done and other chefs that I've known and this type of thing, they may be the most famous sushi chef, combine those words together, in Tokyo or something, but they really want an In-N-Out burger. You know what I mean? Yeah. They want something different like that.
You know, I guess for me, I want authentic. I want it to be the best in its category. And if that's a burger or if it's an exquisite kaiseki meal, it's fine as long as it's the best in its genre.
Now, we got about a minute here before break. You lived here in Portland. You went to Reed College.
I did.
You worked at a deli.
Otto's Deli.
Yeah. You got a lot of inspiration here. Over the years, you've come back frequently, and not only on your book tours, but for other things. You have friends that live here and stuff. What's your favorite place to eat?
Oh, boy, that's a little bit like naming my favorite child. I mean, I love so many places. Paley's Place. I love Imperial. You know, obviously that has the wood-burning grill. Poke is, you know, as I was coming in from the airport last night, I was checking my phone, you know, is Poke still be open? It kind of vaguely remembered my geography and thought, well, we come pretty close to here.
Yeah. So we're going to talk more with Stephen Ranklin here on Barbecue Nation about his new book, Project Smoke. We've got some tough questions for him coming up. Don't go away. Welcome back to Barbecue Nation and this special rebroadcast of our interview with Stephen Ranklin. Hope you enjoy it.
It's full-flavored radio, Barbecue Nation with JT on FM News 101.
Hey, welcome back to the nation. That would be Barbecue Nation here on the Radio Northwest Network and KXL in beautiful downtown Portland on the sixth floor overlooking something out there. We moved studios today, so we're not used to looking out the window on this side of the building. If you want to email us, it's Barbecue Nation, that's BBQNation at KXL.com, or also recipes at KXL.com. David, tell us all about Facebook.
Barbecue Nation with JT on Facebook, same thing. Send us your recipes or questions there, and swing by and give us a like. It helps us out a lot.
There you go. We're begging, as usual. We'd like to say hello to our affiliates, too, KPNW in Eugene and KFLS in Klamath Falls, and all the stations on the Radio Northwest Network that play our show, and along with the other Saturday afternoon lifestyle shows. Today, we're talking with Stephen Ranklin, premier barbecue aficionado, TV host, author, and actually cooks what he eats sometimes. How's that? You like that? Stephen, up here in the Northwest, and it's no different now than when you lived here, people hunt, they fish. You know, you talk about how to make your own bacon in the book. Somehow, to me, the suburban moms and dads out there, not that they couldn't do it, but that's probably a real novel or oddity for them to even think about doing that.
Well, you know, one of the challenges, and I should also say one of the joys of writing this book, was to make my tent big enough for everybody to come under. So, you know, obviously, I had to include the icons in the book, your ribs, your brisket, your pork shoulder, your smoked chicken, smoked turkey. Bacon, yeah, maybe that's a little bit, you know, you have to be a little bit more hardcore to try bacon. On the other hand, there are many dishes that are will appeal to some of the more modern sensibility. I mean, there's a smoked gazpacho, you know, that's pretty modern, smoked nachos, which is a great, you know, sports kind of Super Bowl favorite. I'd say probably a quarter of the dishes in the book are meatless. That was sort of surprising to me. My wife, God bless her, responsible for all of the good things that happened to me, but she has vegetarian leanings. So I make sure that... I know. There are two smoked tofu dishes in the book. One where you cure tofu like ham, and that's amazing. I mean, I'll eat that. You know, there's been a funny evolution even in the world of barbecue that I've noticed. And it used to be when you'd interview all the great pitmasters, the legends like Arthur Bryant or Sonny Bryan, they talk about their pits, their method, their wood, their timing, their spices. Nobody ever talked about where the food came from. And, you know, they were using the cheapest industrially raised commodity meat you could get. Well, the new guys now, the new generation, there's much more attention. You know, I would sum it up by saying that where your food comes from matters as much as how you smoke it.
Mm-hmm.
So for me, you know, at my home, it's grass-fed beef, it's organic chicken, it's heritage pork, grass-fed lamb. We only cook wild seafood. We only smoke wild seafood. I don't mind, frankly, waiting 9 months a year to get beautiful Pacific Northwest wild salmon. I mean, I'd rather enjoy that for 3 months a year than have just crummy commodity salmon all year long.
No, I think that's true. And again, we were up here, you know, we also have a lot of the, I'll let you get that.
Oh, crap. I can't believe that. I am so embarrassed.
Oh, don't worry about it. so many of the people up here do hunt and fish.
Mm.
And, you know, I grew up, my grandfather and my uncle would give me for Christmas a bag of venison jerky, a 5-pound bag of venison jerky that they smoked over the grates in their house because they had wood stoves.
That's right.
And it would come up and they I couldn't wait. Hunting season was in October, but I couldn't have any till December because it took that long to, you know, to brine it and to cure it and to do this. And this stuff was harder than heck. You had to actually cut it off with a knife. But I would put two or three pieces of that in my pocket and go to school or out to the barn to work. And I was in heaven. And that, and I think that's one of the first things that ever got me interested in smoking and wood fire cooking and things like that. It was, and I still have those very vivid memories. And we lived in a rural area. The power went out. My mom had a Dutch oven when we had three fireplaces in the house. One of them had a swinging arm in it that you would hang the Dutch oven on. So if the power went out, we always had stew. And she could make biscuits in the Dutch oven. She knew how to do all that stuff, but that was kind of my exposure to things when I was very young.
Boy, you sound like a lucky guy. Yeah. I, on the other hand, grew up on TV dinners by a mother who was a ballerina and totally not interested in cooking at all. However, you know, I'm glad you mentioned jerky too, because that's another food that, it's not barbecue, but it's smoked.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I couldn't help but thinking, we were talking about how hard it was. And of course, the idea, I mean, smoking is very ancient. It's probably the second oldest cooking method there is. And originally, it was designed to preserve foods in the age before refrigeration.
Sure.
And it also happened to taste good. But I do have a little trick with jerky, and that is when it comes off of your smoker and it's still warm, put it in a zip-top resealable plastic bag and then let it cool in that bag, and the steam generated will soften the jerky. Now, I mean, that's, you know, more to the tooth of the modern palate.
Right.
The hard, rock hard jerky, you know, the purpose of that was you could take it on a 6-month hike and it would still be good.
Oh, yeah.
And ready for you to use.
You couldn't hurt that with a sledgehammer.
Exactly.
But it was salty. It was smoky. Once you popped a piece in your mouth just salivated and made all kinds of juice. I mean, anyway.
Salt and smoke. That is it. That's the trigger. That's why we love smoked foods so much. And what struck me, you know, whenever I write a book, first thing I do is pack a suitcase. And I'll tell you about my travels a little bit later on. But all over the world, people have that same emotional connection with smoked foods.
Yeah, no, it's you can't help but have it. All right, before we go to break here, I want to talk about my friends at Bear Mountain Forest Products. They make some of the best pellets, if not the best pellets in the world, for your pellet smoker. I happen to use them almost on a daily basis in my Black Olive smoker, and I don't have any problems with Bear Mountain pellets. And I can use the alder, the hickory, the cherry, the mesquite, whatever you want, they've got it. And also I have their small wood chunks and things for my smaller smokers. So that's Bear Mountain Forest Products. You can look them up on bearmountainforestproducts.com. We will be right back.
It's a Northwest Lifestyle Weekend. Now, with Barbecue Nation, here's JT on FM News 101.
Now for more of our interview with Steve Reichlin, talking about his book, Project Smoke. Welcome back to the Barbecue Nation here on the Radio Northwest Network and KXL in beautiful downtown Portland. I am JT, along with David Shurtleff, our master producer here, and we have got Stephen Reichlin in the studio with us today, which is really an honor and a pleasure. Stephen, before we finish your story about packing your bag as you write a book, here in the Pacific Northwest, we have some wonderful seafood, as you know.
Mm.
In fact, I got a call day before yesterday. A friend of mine in Texas said, "Can I smoke a crab?" And I said, "Yeah, you know, might be a little hard in the rolling papers, but you'll get it." You'd have to know him to appreciate that joke. But I think anything is pretty much possible to smoke.
You know, I have only found two foods that, and I want to say you can smoke. You can smoke them, but don't really seem to benefit from smoke.
Right.
And one is chocolate, and the other are peppercorns. Chocolate, if you think about the flavor profile of chocolate, it's, you know, it's bitter, it's earthy, it's very similar in a funny way to smoke. So
sure.
Smoke doesn't really do anything for it. Although vanilla smoked is incredible. Cinnamon smoked mm-hmm. is incredible. And peppercorns, again, I think because of their flavor profile, there just isn't much room for the smoke flavor in that. Salt, absolutely fantastic. Paprika, hot peppers, great smoke. Think about a Chipotle. But black peppercorns, nah.
Nah, doesn't work. So how would you recommend? I told him what I would do to smoke a crab.
Mm.
But share with us, Obi-Wan, Smokey. Tell us how you would do it.
Well, one thing I might do is I might crack open the appetizer chapter of Project Smoke and look for what I call bacon crab poppers. And basically, you cut jalapenos in half, seed them if you are timid of tongue, leave the seeds in if not. The filling is crab mixed with or placed on top of cream cheese,
mm-hmm.
A little Old Bay seasoning if you're inclined. Out here, I wouldn't do it because your crab is so spectacular. It's pretty spectacular back east too, but I make that optional. Wrap the popper with a half strip of bacon. And what's a little different, many people kind of hollow out the popper and cook it whole, but I like to do half so that mm-hmm. the filling actually gets exposed to the smoke. It's a quick smoke, you know, just warm enough to heat the filling, make it bubble. That's a great way to do crab.
The show you just came from, AM Northwest,
mm-hmm.
I damn near killed Helen Raptus with some poppers one day that I made for her as a Super Bowl appetizer. And I thought they were perfectly mild. And Helen and I said, boy, these are really good. You know, we were doing the hero yeah. shot at the end, and she grabs one and she's like, I had to get her some water. I had to close out the segment. Anyway, just a little TV trivia for you.
Oh, that was funny. I was actually on with her quite recently, too. And because we were in studio, I used a smoking gun, which is a handheld mm-hmm. smoker, and that's a whole other category of smokers. That's a new device added to a very ancient tradition, but if you live in a condo or an apartment, it's a great way to get a smoke flavor
sure.
into your food.
Sure. You know, being in a position to do this show, I get lots of treats from different manufacturers sure. and stuff, just like I'm sure you do.
Mm-hmm.
And those things are kind of fun. You know, I've got the smokers that you've got the regular smokers, you got the smokers you can plug into, you know, your gas grills. We got all the toys mm-hmm. and it is fun to play with those. So, are you ready to play the lightning round?
Let's do it.
Okay. Let's go. Stephen Reichlin's playing the lightning round here today on Barbecue Nation. Stephen, what is the hardest part about being on tour for you?
Being away from my family.
Being away from your family. And what have you learned so far on your book tour?
Coolest technique I've seen so far was in Austin at a restaurant called Odd Duck, where they took a burning piece of wood and pressed it on top of a piece of raw fish that was going to be turned into ceviche. So giving just a little bit of smoke, wood, char fire to ceviche.
That's pretty slick. Okay. Your favorite seafood to barbecue or smoke?
Salmon.
Okay. Toughest skill for a beginner barbecuer to learn?
Patience.
Yes. How long did it take you not to learn to peak?
Well, you know, I think that is sort of overrated about this peaking, and it's not like, you know, your food is a balloon that's going to deflate you
right.
know, the minute you open the lid or anything. I think more the bigger challenge is when you're grilling a piece of fish and you have this, you know, it sticks to the grate and you want to move it right away.
Right.
You have to wait for 3 or 4 minutes and then it'll come up by itself.
Yes, it will. Which of these would you rather barbecue or smoke? The Thanksgiving turkey, a Yule log, a Christmas goose, or the Easter bunny?
I'm going with the turkey.
Going with the
turkey.
Call
me a traditionalist.
There you go. Let me switch the page here. Okay. Fill in the blanks here. Liquid smoke should be used for...
barbecue sauce.
There you go. If you were declared supreme ruler of barbecue for a week, what would you decree?
I would decree that all pork should be heritage breeds. All beef should be grass or organic. All chicken should be organic. All seafood should be wild. Just like I said, I mean, really up the quality of the ingredients.
There you go. Besides Project Smoke and anything that you've written, what's your favorite barbecue book?
I would say The Thrill of the Grill by Chris Schlesinger. That's an old, old book, came out in the early 90s, and it certainly set me on my path.
Okay. Personal things here. Dumbest thing you've ever seen done with a grill or a barbecue? Dumbest.
Let's see. Setting a charcoal grill in a rowboat with a plastic bottom, and then watching the grill dump fall over onto the plastic bottom.
That's
pretty dumb.
Excellent. What's the first thing you ever remember grilling or smoking?
Oh, boy. Would have been steak. Helping my mom. My mom was actually the grill master in the family. She'd build a raging hot fire, lit the grill with gasoline, and the steak would go on. It would come out the color of coal, and the center, the heart would still be beating.
There you go.
She called it Pittsburgh Rare.
Pittsburgh Rare, okay. What's the worst concert you ever attended?
The worst concert? Oh, boy. I'm not a big concert goer. I don't like crowds. I'll tell you what. Both the best and the worst concert I ever attended was a Bob Dylan concert.
Okay.
Best when he played with Paul Simon, because Paul Simon's such a showman. And for one night in his whole career, Bob Dylan was a showman. Worst when he doesn't look at the audience and races through his songs.
Yes. Two more really quick. What is the worst place you ever had to cook?
The worst place I ever had to cook. Boy, I would say doing a live demonstration in a bookstore with a hair trigger sprinkler system.
Okay, we won't ask how that ended up. And finally, for someone new in the barbecuing or grilling or smoking world, what do you recommend for them to start with? It can be anything.
Start with a pork shoulder. Why a pork shoulder? It's an intrinsically tender muscle, unlike a brisket. And it's very generously marbled, so even if you overcook it, it will come out moist and juicy.
There you go. I think he passed, don't you, David? Yeah, I think he passed. Stephen Ranklin passes our lightning round test here. Okay, really quickly, we're going to go to break here in a couple minutes. But in the book, you also smoke some drinks. We talked about that in the intro.
Smoke cocktails, sure.
Smoke cocktails. And how did you select the ones you're going to do with? And also in a more broader sense, how did you select the recipes? I mean, I know I've been through the process of writing a cookbook, and you may have 500 to start with, and then, you know, you end up with whatever the final number is.
Well, there are 100 recipes in this book, and I definitely started with more than 100, more like 250.
Mm-hmm.
The process of selection, I mean, first of all, I want everything to be delicious. I want people to try the recipes. So they have to be things you can do. I want to stretch people's imaginations, which is why you'll find me smoking potato salad, why you'll find me smoking cheesecake, as well as the classics. I want to teach people. So I'd say very much kind of my choice of recipe is teaching. I want to make people travel, join me in my wonderful travels around Planet Barbecue, which is why I'll give you a recipe for a Danish shrimp and an Italian smoked mozzarella and Scotch whiskey. I mean,
sure.
You know, you mentioned spirits and cocktails. Well, this was a craze in craft bartending about 5 years ago, and I thought it's a perfect. I always, in my books, I always want to make people kind of think out of the box and get you out of your comfort zone and show you that there's more to the subject than what meets the eye.
No, it works, and I've been in some bars once in my life, and you know, seen them do the with the cold smoke guns and things like that. It's really interesting. I'm kind of a Scotch Rocks guy anyway, like that. We're going to be back and wrap up the show with Steve Reichlin here on Barbecue Nation. Do not go away. We're having too much fun. And don't burn things.
Hey, I'm Ryan Day, pitmaster at Hottest Pit Barbecue. You're listening to Barbecue Nation with JT on Northwest Radio Network.
Hope you're enjoying your summer barbecues. And here's our final segment of my interview with Steve Reichlin.
It's Barbecue Nation with Jeff Tracy.
Hey, welcome back to Barbecue Nation. Little REO Speedwagon there. You know, they had a great album title. You can tune a piano, but you can't tune a fish. That was truly one of their deals. We are wrapping up our show today with Stephen Reichlin. His new book is called Project Smoke, but he's also got a correlating TV show with that.
That's right. It is also called Project Smoke. And actually, I did things a little backwards. I created the TV show first and then the book. Usually you do it the other way around. But the goal of the show is, I think smoking has reached a watershed moment. Now, it used to be sort of a cult thing that was practiced primarily in the South, Texas, you know, the Midwest.
Right.
And it's going mainstream. It's going mainstream in a big way. So I wanted to really help a nation that has been grilling in a ever-growing, ever more sophisticated way for 10 years discover smoking.
I think you've done a good job with it. Now, how in doing the show, how does that compare to doing like Barbecue University for you? I mean, personally, because at the U, you'd bring people in, you'd teach them, you'd do this and that, and you must have gotten tremendous satisfaction out of that.
I still run Barbecue University, the school. In fact, I'm headed there next week in Colorado Springs at the Broadmoor Resort, and I love teaching. I would say, you know, kind of, I'm first and foremost, I'm a writer and then a teacher. I mean, there are pit masters that can make better briskets than I can. But I think what I bring to the table is an ability to understand and explain the process in a way
sure.
that other people can understand it and replicate it.
Well, you've done a great job, Stephen, and over the years, and I must confess, I have all of your books at home. And
this does not need confession. This needs praise.
Yes. Well, it's
emulate this guy, folks.
It's good. It's all good. And I've like you say, people will say, what do you cook best? You know, and I can say, OK, well, I think I've finally mastered cooking the tri-tip, or I've mastered doing this and that. But there's always somebody that's a little different, a little better like that. And it's a continuous process. You know, if you think about it, to me, cooking is organic. To begin with, and so, you know, organic keeps growing, and so that's what I think where we're at in the barbecue nation here, and probably in the Steve Reichlin nation too.
Well, it's incredible. New generation coming up, people like the owners of Ox Restaurant. You know, I mean, Portland has a world class grill restaurant now, and they are doing things with a grill that you know, we would have never dreamt possible.
No, it's all good. It's all good. So, where do you go from here?
So, in Portland for another day. Thank goodness. And then I head out to Salt Lake City, Phoenix, Denver, and then down to Colorado Springs for Barbecue University.
And then this tour goes on for quite a while, though, don't you?
Yeah, I actually finish up on July 3rd, and my last stop is just outside of Venice, Italy, to be the master of ceremony at a new barbecue festival in Italy.
Isn't that amazing that some of the areas of the world, one of our biggest listeners outside of the United States to Barbecue Nation are the Australians.
Mm.
And I've been down there several times, had a lot of fun with them. But they're starting to really, and even when I was there the first time, which was 12 years ago or something, they were really taking their barbecue and grilling and things seriously. At least the folks I was around.
You know, it is quite extraordinary. For so many decades, we took our food inspiration from Europe, from Italy, from France.
Mm-hmm.
And now to go over there, the way to see the way Italians are using offset barrel smokers and they're smoking. Germans, the Dutch, the Scandinavians. I mean, this thing is going global.
Stephen, we post a lot of stuff on our website. Why don't you give us your website and any contact information you'd like to share with us?
Absolutely. So for more information on me, my activities, my website is barbecuebible.com. That's BarbecueBible.com. So you can follow me on Facebook at Stephen Reichlin or on Twitter and Instagram at S Reichlin. And for more information on the show, including a schedule of where to watch it in your area, that would be projectsmoke.org.
Stephen Reichlin, thank you so much for being on the show today.
Well, thank you. This was a great interview, and it just reminded me why I love what I do so much.
Very good. Folks, that's it for me and David this week and all of our affiliates down the line. And don't forget, Stephen's new book is called Project Smoke. I'm pretty sure you can find it online at his websites, but also at any bookstore, at Powell's, at Barnes & Noble's, any of those here in the Portland area, and again, online. McGarian is on deck, and Bushlack is bringing up the rear, so to speak, there with the rest of the afternoon shows. Remember, folks, turn it, don't burn it. There's no need to turn everything into charcoal. For more on me, you can turn on to thecowboycook.com, and you can see there, or you can go to our KXL website. So until next time, everybody be safe out there, be careful, and we'll see you all next week. A little REO to leave you with. Bye-bye.
Barbecue Nation is produced by Alpha Media USA in association with JTSD Productions, LLC. All rights reserved. Copyright 2016.
Thanks for listening to Barbecue Nation. Reynolds and I will be back next week with another special edition of Barbecue Nation.